Comrades, this is not my first time speaking at the party conference, but it's the first time that I am speaking here to you as your Prime Minister. After I was chosen by my colleagues to lead the team more than 2 years ago, I discussed the timing of the transition with Comrade Lee Hsien Loong. By end 2023, I decided I was ready to take over. And in fact, I shared this with all of you at last year's party convention, if you recall. So we proceeded with the transition in May. Since then, it's been a busy 6 months for me. I've been in government for quite some time as a civil servant and then later entering politics. But I can tell you, nothing prepares you for this job until you do it. There are so many additional responsibilities, so many key decisions to make, so many changes. But over the last few months, I have adapted and adjusted to my new role. And so now, we have to consider the timing for leadership transition in the party. And as you heard from SecGen just now, we have decided it's time to make the change. So with this move, we will complete the leadership transition. In the government, as well as in the party, the torch has passed to the new generation. With your support and support from our newly elected CEC, I will lead the PAP into the next general election. My hair is not white yet, but I can assure you the stress grows every day. Still, I embrace the challenges. I recognize the weight of my responsibilities and I value the trust that you place in me. I pledge to serve with humility. I will devote every ounce of my strength to the party, to the government, and to Singapore. This passing of the torch is happening as we mark a special point in our party's history. It was 70 years ago on 21st November 1954 when Mr. Lee Kuan Yew and his comrades founded the People's Action Party. 70 years is a long time. Many cadres in this room, including me, were not born when the PAP was founded. But we all know what the PAP has done. And there is so much we can be proud of. When Singapore became independent in August 1965, there was no other party besides the PAP to make something of this little island. So if we are asked, what has the PAP achieved in the last 70 years? Our answer is simple. It is Singapore. It is everything we see around us. That is what we have achieved together. Successive generations of the PAP, our Pioneer and Merdeka generations, our Majula and younger cohorts, all of us, we did this together with our fellow citizens. I am grateful to all our activists and cadres for all that you do. We recognized a number of you last night at our party awards. Comrade Basu and so many others who are our award recipients, I say to all of you, congratulations and well done. Of course, there are many other activists, cadres, all of you doing your part, contributing in your own ways across all our branches and also at our party HQ. So to all of you, our party activists, our cadres, I would like to say today a very big thank you for all your contributions and hard work. proud as we can be and should be of our history, our focus must remain firmly on the future. Yes, we have succeeded beyond our wildest dreams. We now have far more resources than when we started out in 1965. But we also face far more formidable challenges. We mark PAP 70 this year, but there is no guarantee that we will be around for PAP 100. So today, I will speak first of the changing global situation, and then our domestic challenges, and finally, on politics. Let me start with our external environment. We are embarking on our next phase of nation building under very trying circumstances. I've been busy with several overseas work trips these past few months. In fact, I just got back from APEC in Peru and G20 in Brazil a few days ago, still trying to adjust to Singapore's time zone. I've had good discussions with many counterparts in these meetings. Everyone is worried because we are in a far more dangerous world today. There are major wars raging in Europe and the Middle East. US and China relations are in a more challenging place. And there are many moving pieces geopolitically where things can easily go wrong. For decades, countries everywhere, all of us have benefited from an American-led global order. We say this is Pax Americana in Latin. It means a world with America as the dominant power, supported by multilateral institutions like the United Nations, the IMF, the World Bank, the International Court of Justice, and so on, shaping international norms and behaviors. Now, the situation is changing. America is still preeminent, but it no longer wants to be the world's policeman. Former President Donald Trump has just been re-elected to office on the basis of America First. His mandate reflects the growing sentiment amongst the American public that they are paying too high a price to uphold this global order. Too high a price and yet not enjoying the commensurate benefits. Meanwhile, there are other rising powers like China and India, but they too are focused on their own domestic issues and they are not yet in a position to take on larger global responsibilities. And so the world is in flux. The established norms are fading, but a new order is not yet in place. And amidst this vacuum of global leadership, we can expect more conflict and instability in the world because state and non-state actors will be emboldened to test boundaries, often with little or no consequence. We already see this in Ukraine, where there has been an egregious breach of the United Nations Charter and territorial sovereignty, and also in the Middle East, where there has been a horrendous terrorist attack followed by a cataclysmic humanitarian tragedy. Ideally, the major powers of this world should come together, coordinate their positions, and work together for the larger good. Stop the conflicts, stop the wars, tackle shared challenges like climate change and nuclear proliferation. Otherwise, we can't look forward to a shared future. Unfortunately, there is deep suspicion and mistrust between America and China. Each regards the other as a strategic threat, and both are taking steps to enlarge their spheres of influence and to strengthen their own positions. So it will get harder to find common ground. We don't like to see the world moving in this direction, but these are the realities of the world we live in today. And the dynamics will be with us for some time. We're not talking about 1 or 2 years and then things will improve. I think we will have to grapple with this perhaps for the next decade or beyond. It means we will find it more difficult to make a living and keep ourselves safe. Other countries may test our limits, and we must be ready to stand firm and defend our interests. At the same time, we must redouble our efforts to make friends with everyone, big and small, near and far. Above all, we must remain united as one united people. Singaporeans are bound to have different views on global developments, whether it be the actions of America or China, or the wars in Europe or the Middle East. But we cannot let our differences pull us apart. It is already tough to be a small country for our voice to be heard. It will be even tougher if our voice is diffused and incoherent. At the end of the day, we must consider the larger national interest and take a united position. Then we can speak with one voice on the world stage, and we will be valued as a safe and secure, a stable and reliable nation, even in a troubled and uncertain world. Fortunately, Singapore's reputation and international standing is high. We participate actively in international forums, and people want to hear us. I mentioned APEC and G20 just now. We were one of the 12 founding members of APEC. We have been invited to attend almost all G20 meetings, although we are far from being one of the 20 largest economies of the world. What makes Singapore so exceptional? It's because when we speak, others know that it is a Singaporean point of view, coherently articulated by the government and supported by Singaporeans. They know we mean business and we do not waver. So without Singaporeans steadfastly supporting the government, we will not be able to navigate this new turbulent world. We will not be able to withstand hostile foreign influence operations that have divided and undermined other societies. That's why I do not take the trust and support of Singaporeans lightly. My team and I will work hard to earn your trust and to be a steadfast voice for Singapore and Singaporeans on the world stage. Next, let me turn to our domestic issues and challenges. In this term of government, we've had to confront the COVID-19 pandemic, the crisis of a generation. It was a baptism of fire for me and my team. We said we would protect your lives and your livelihoods. We have delivered. And working together, we have not only overcome COVID-19, but we have also emerged stronger as one people, together. Now, we are tackling the next challenge of our generation, to renew our social compact, to refresh our Singapore dream, and to give every Singaporean the assurance and hope that tomorrow will be better than today. From the very beginning, this has been the PAP's mission. We have stood for a fair and just society for all. We believe that every Singaporean, regardless of race, language, or religion, deserves a fair shot in life, that every Singaporean should be duly rewarded for their efforts, enjoy equal opportunities to succeed, and be able to realize their fullest potential. These convictions underpin the core pillars of the system we've built in Singapore. It's one that's clean and honest and operates on the basis of merit. Our system works also because of the strong tripartite partnership we've forged over the decades. And it's a partnership underpinned by the symbiotic ties between the PAP and the NTUC. Many of our brothers and sisters from the labor movement are here. Thank you all for your strong support. This PAP and NTUC link is strong and vital. We share your conviction that every worker matters, and we will continue to advance the well-being of all workers in Singapore. So, comrades, brothers and sisters, these core values and fundamentals will never change. They will always be the North Star that guides our way forward. At the same time, we have to adapt to new circumstances and the evolving needs of our society. And that's why we embarked on Forward Singapore, to review our policies, to reset our attitudes and mindsets, so that we can continue to give every Singaporean, regardless of background, a stake in our nation's progress. Over the past year, we have made several big moves. For our seniors, we built on the Pioneer and Merdeka generation packages that had been given to them earlier and are continuing to provide them with significant support, including through Healthier SG and AgeWell SG. For younger seniors and those in their 40s, we are doing more to help them in their skills upgrading and in their retirement through Skills Future and the Majula package. For families, young couples, and singles, we have introduced major changes to keep housing affordable and to create a more family-friendly environment. For students, we have initiated reforms to our education system and open up more avenues for advancement so that everyone can develop their abilities and talents to the fullest, regardless of their starting points or the paths they wish to take. So we have a full agenda under Forward Singapore. The changes and transformations we seek are just beginning, and they will continue to unfold over several years. This is what I am most passionate about. Working together, hand in hand, we can chart a new course and build a better Singapore. A Singapore where everyone can decide their chosen paths, including paths that are more open and less conventional. A Singapore where anyone, regardless of their background, including a kid from the HDB heartlands and a neighborhood school, can succeed and achieve their goals. Because here in Singapore, we are all equal. Everyone stands a fair shot at success. So long as we work hard and aim high, we can turn possibilities into achievements and dreams into reality. That's the Singapore I want to build with all of you. Even as we work towards this shared vision, we must tackle our immediate concerns and adapt to new political realities. I know that Singaporeans are concerned about the cost of living. It's not unique to us in Singapore. Countries everywhere face similar pressures because of the recent spike in global inflation. Over the recent months, inflation in many of these places, including Singapore, has moderated. But price levels remain higher than before, and this impacts on people's sense of well-being. So you just take a look at the outcomes of elections held this year across many countries. Frustration with rising cost of living overshadowed other matters and contributed to a very strong sense of anti-incumbency feeling, meaning whoever is the incumbent in power, there is a strong feeling against that incumbent party. And so every governing party in a developed country that held elections this year has lost vote share. Quite a number have lost the mandate to govern altogether. We feel the pressure in Singapore too. Opposition parties have tried to exploit this issue to turn sentiments against the PAP, even though they themselves do not have good solutions. We hope Singaporeans understand that these are global inflation trends. They impact all countries. But here in Singapore, the government is doing its best to shield you, to shield all of us from the worst effects of inflation. We've rolled out major packages over the last few years to support Singaporeans, and there is more help on the way. Next month, in December, there will be some measures from the assurance package, and in January, another tranche of CDC vouchers coming up. I am now preparing for Budget 2025. Because I'm still the finance minister, remember? I will see how we can continue to provide additional support in the budget. These are national schemes, national programs, but on top of them, each of our branches in our constituencies, all of you, have been busy rolling out your own local schemes and programs. So as a government and as a party, we are doing all that we can. And we can truly say that, hand on heart, we are doing all that we can to help Singaporeans cope with higher cost of living. But more fundamentally, the political challenge we face in Singapore is rather unique. Very few political parties have been in government for as long as we have. I did a quick check on the internet. The longest running governing party in the world so far has been Mexico's Institutional Revolutionary Party. They led Mexico for 71 years, from 1929 to 2000. What about the PAP? We are not far behind. We are 65 years. If you count, we are not 65 years of independence, but if you count since self-government in 1959, we are 65 years. Of course, we want to keep serving Singaporeans for as long as possible. But we must never assume that we will not see a change in governments in our lifetimes. For now, most Singaporeans want the PAP to form the government, and we are grateful for their support and for the mandate they have given us. But at the same time, we know they want more opposition voices in Parliament. At least there is a segment of Singaporeans who say, we want the PAP to serve us as government, but we also want more opposition voices in Parliament. In the last election, the opposition said, beware of an opposition wipeout. Please, save us. Otherwise, there will be a wipeout. Actually, there is no chance of that happening at all. There have been opposition MPs in Parliament continuously ever since 1981. And with the NCMP scheme, we are guaranteed of at least 12 opposition MPs in Parliament. The opposition in Singapore is here to stay. In fact, given the desire for more opposition voices, the bigger risk we face is the loss of a stable and strong and good government. The opposition themselves admit that they are far from ready to form the government. They say that partly because they know that Singaporeans will not support them if they openly declare their intention to govern. So they are very quick to assure Singaporeans, don't worry, you can vote for us. We only want to oppose. We don't want to form the government. But if more and more voters are persuaded by this argument and they vote for the opposition, you can be sure that what is now the opposition will soon be the government. The opposition today will be the government tomorrow. And it does not require a large swing in votes. We saw in the last election how many GRCs and SMCs were closely contested. A modest swing in popular votes against the PAP can lead to very different electoral outcomes. We are talking very possibly the loss of another 3 or 4 GRCs. That means we lose another 4 or 5 ministers or a quarter of the cabinet. We will end up with a much weaker government, with far less ability to solve the problems facing our people and our country at a time when the world is becoming more uncertain and troubled. So, comrades, the stakes in the next election are high. Please don't think it is guaranteed that the PAP will win and form a stable government. We have to work hard for every vote, and that means all of us in the party, together with our brothers and sisters in the Labour movement, all of us working hard. Remember, election outcomes are shaped not just by national policies. It's also what we do on the ground that matters. So all of us, our branch chairs, our activists on the ground, we must do our part to build close relationships with residents, to forge close bonds with them, to solve their problems, and to improve their lives and their living environment. These things matter, especially in a tight contest. And we know from the last election, and more so in the next election, there are no longer any safe seats. All seats will be contested, and there will be a few that are fiercely contested. So every resident, every vote counts, and all our efforts matter. We all have to chip in, do our part to earn the confidence and trust of Singaporeans, to win the mandate to govern, and ultimately to serve our fellow Singaporeans. As a party, we must also refresh and update our approach. That is our responsibility and our mission. In the past, for a long time, when the political landscape was less contested, the PAP could afford to stay in the background. So it was the government that would go out to engage citizens, explain policies, and solicit feedback and ideas. To be clear, the government of the day will continue to do so, but the PAP can no longer operate from the back. We must come out in front to explain our policies, to mobilize citizens for the causes that we believe in, to engage Singaporeans on the issues they care about, and importantly, to show them why they can trust and depend on the PAP to provide the leadership for Singapore. So we have taken steps to refresh the party. As all of you know, many of you were engaged in our Refresh PAP initiative. We have already implemented several changes, including the setting up of 2 new groups on climate action and mental health. SMS Koh Poh Koon and SFS Janil are in charge of these 2 groups, and they have been hard at work. Later today, we will be launching... Yeah, let's acknowledge them and all who are working hard on these 2 initiatives. Later today, we will be launching a new PAP app. It's already available. I think some of you have seen a preview of the app. It will be a new way in which we can engage our members and also widen our network, get in touch with one another, inform people of events and initiatives that are taking place, and widen our network. SMS Low Yen Ling and her team have been hard at work on the app over the past year. So thank you very much. We are finally ready to launch it. So as a party, we will welcome a greater diversity of people with different backgrounds, views, and ideas to join us as our activists, our friends, and even as potential candidates. We invite all Singaporeans to work with us and shape our shared future together. Some of you may ask, how long can we go on for? We are 65 years, Mexico has a record of 71 years. How long can we continue as the ruling party? Really, no one can tell. Mr. Lee Kuan Yew himself once said, there may come a day in Singapore when the public decides to try the other side and choose another party to govern the nation. In the end, Singaporeans will decide. That's how our system of democracy works. Singaporeans will decide. So there is no certainty. No arrangement can be guaranteed to last forever. But I give you my word. Whatever lies ahead, I will do everything I can under my watch to win the support and trust of Singaporeans. And comrades, so long as we remain true to our values, true to our purpose, true to our calling to serve, I am confident we will achieve our goals. But I cannot do all this alone. I need your support. Because elections in Singapore are a team contest. The PAP has won the mandate over the last 15 elections. Why? Because each time we delivered on what we promised, and Singaporeans were convinced that we had the best team, not just individual, one or two persons, but the best team for Singapore. And that's what elections are about. Whichever party that can attract and field the stronger team will stand a better chance of winning the support of Singaporeans and winning the mandate to govern. So my priority as PM, as SecGen, is to form the best team for Singapore. It's never easy to get good people to enter politics. I asked my two predecessors, ESM Goh and SM Lee, do you have any advice and tips for me? They say, just do your best. This has always been challenging. They too face difficulties attracting good people to join. In fact, I've seen how SM Lee agonized over this when I worked with him. At that time, I didn't quite fully understand the significance of this work. Now, having taken over, I realize it's absolutely the most important, the most crucial, the most urgent thing I have to do. And that's why I've been spending a lot of time amidst my very busy schedule still prioritizing time to engage potential candidates. I've met many people. Singaporeans who have done well in their professional life are generally very comfortable where they are. To be expected, right? You've done well, earning a good income. Very comfortable. They are very reluctant to change their lifestyles. And also, why subject themselves to public glare and scrutiny? Often they tell me, let someone else do the job. So many people in Singapore, find someone else. Or they may say, don't worry, the PAP is already in a very strong position. And after all, you have just started. Why are you in such a hurry? Take your time. So I have to explain to them what's at stake. And let me be candid and upfront with all of you today as well. Look at the current cabinet in Singapore. We have 19 ministers. More than half of them are age 60 and above. Actually, at 52, I'm one of the youngest in cabinet. No, I value the older ministers in the team. They provide experience and wise counsel. And many of them will continue serving for another 5 to 10 years. And that's assuming they are all blessed with good health. And I wish them good health, for sure. But can I wait until they retire before bringing in new blood? Surely not. I must start now to renew the team. Furthermore, when we bring in new candidates, it's very hard to parachute them directly into a ministerial role. They need time to learn. And that has been my own experience. I was inducted into politics in 2011. At that time, I was 38. I had already spent 15 years in the civil service. But there was still so much to learn. about organizing the PAP branch on the ground, gaining the trust of voters, running a ministry, explaining policies to the public, or engaging and interacting with foreign counterparts. These were all new to me, even after working as a public servant for 15 years. So there is tremendous value in starting early, gaining experience, and then progressively building up confidence and capabilities to take on larger responsibilities. And that's why it's so urgent for me to have a fresh crop of younger candidates who can provide vigor and continuity and can eventually form the next leadership team for Singapore. It's not because I want to retire early. It's because I have to start planning ahead, not just 1 or 2 years, not even the next election, but for the next 10, 15 years, and make sure we can continue to earn the trust and confidence of Singaporeans to govern Singapore in their interest. So, comrades, while it is a challenge to recruit potential office holders, I am not giving up. I am persisting, I am persevering, and I am doing my best. I have made some progress. That's a good news. But I still hope to be able to persuade a few more to join our PAP team. And I look forward to presenting the candidates as our election campaign approaches. When we field them, please support all of them and help me to spread the word and persuade our fellow citizens to support them too, because we cannot leave this to chance. It's the most important thing we have to do as a party. Our future and our nation's future depend critically on our ability to find good people to serve in politics. So please support me in this endeavor, and please support our new candidates when we field them in the election campaign. Comrades, this will be our last party conference before the general election. And I can say before the next general election next year. It will be next year. As your Prime Minister, I have set the tone for my leadership to be inclusive, to engage and listen, and to give everyone a voice and stake in our nation. I have launched Forward Singapore, as I mentioned just now, our agenda, our roadmap for the future. I've initiated a reset of policies. I've announced some of them at the National Day rally, and there will be more to come. I have implemented new initiatives to engage with our fellow Singaporeans. As your Secretary General, I will renew and strengthen our party. I will put together the best team to serve our people and our nation. I will deepen the symbiotic ties between the PAP and the NTUC. Together, we will fight to win the hearts and minds of our fellow citizens and earn their support and trust through our actions. For we are the People's Action Party. We will always be a people's party, a party of action, a party that builds a better Singapore with Singaporeans for all Singaporeans. So to all Singaporeans, I say, even as we seek your support, the PAP will always be your biggest supporter. We will always be here for you. Your dreams will inspire our actions. Together, let us forge a new path forward and build a better Singapore for all. Majulah PAP, Majulah Singapura. Thank you.